Mike's in a mood.
I'm always in a mood when you're around.
We're very patriotic together.
Are we? Yeah. I literally washed this shirt today so I could have a red shirt to wear.
Oh, you wanted to be patriotic?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, as torn as I am.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wearing a red shirt. You're wearing a navy blue and white
thing. One piece.
What would you call that?
It's called a jumpsuit or a romper.
Make sure you're close to the mic because I feel like...
It's called a jumpsuit.
Hey, so we're here today. Oh, hi, Elise Castle.
Hey, Mike Jensen.
So we are here today to discuss Great Sexpectations.
But hold on.
Okay.
In last week's episode, you were talking about a restaurant that was in the meatpacking, and then we had dinner with a friend who used to work there.
Yes.
So we got some clarification
on it. So it was Vento.
Okay.
And downstairs was the V-Lounge.
Yeah, and why did he get fired?
I don't remember.
He just wasn't very good. He spilled a whole tray of drinks.
Oh, I just remember him telling the story of him carrying a martini.
Oh, and it took him
really
forever to take
way,
it.
And he got it to the table, and the woman was like, it's about time, or took you long enough, or something like that. So there you go. So yeah, I knew it was a V. It was Vento, and yeah, the downstairs was the V Lounge. So there you go. Memories. This originally debuted June 29th, 2003. Directed by Michael Patrick King, written by Cindy Chupac. Our DVD recap is as follows. Carrie and Jack's relationship is moving along perfectly. Meanwhile, when Samantha introduces the girls to a raw foods restaurant, she discovers that she wants something that's not on the menu, a date with the hot waiter. Hoping to fill the Steve-sized hole in her life, Miranda finds a new love, TiVo. Charlotte, having decided that Harry is indeed her ideal man, announces that she is going to convert to Judaism.
Meanwhile, you know, back like, at the Wicked.
There
Wicked.
Is actually like a YouTube clip that's just like, meanwhile, downtown for like 20 minutes. It's just like all of them all put together.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's pretty funny.
Isn't that you that likes that line from The Wiz?
I do.
Yeah.
But that they cut from the TV version.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. So we start out with a truly great burger.
The only thing as delicious as those first few bites of a truly great burger are those first few dates with someone truly great. Like burger.
And
now,
a pom-pom
I really want a burger.
Necklace.
His mother once heckled him to Barnes & Noble.
He also, Carrie again, makes a mess on her face with that burger, and he has to clean it up.
Yeah, Carrie's not afraid of a mess on her face.
Oh, Mike.
Do with that what you will.
Well, I think you intended something. You're not very...
I really didn't. I actually, when I watched this, because I am a big fan of the five napkin burger, like the big actual five napkin burger, and I've always thought, like, I could never eat this in front of someone that I was trying to impress. Because it's so messy, and she does not have those issues.
No, and I actually was thinking that, too. I was like, wow, she really just picks that up
and
eats it.
She's not worried about it.
Good job.
And yeah, way to not be worried. Apparently,
you like your beef.
Was an ad-libbed line that he just sort of made up on the spot, so good for him. And I did write, I would now like a burger. And then we get to Bed Bath & Beyond, and there's the fish theme, and there is that thing of, like, you know, if you go with the fish curtain, then you have to have, like, the fish everything else. And
right.
Basically, it's just flirting over shower curtains. And
sexy.
Wait till I get you into bedding. And this was not, I mean, I know that it probably seems obvious, but they're not really, like, that's not how shower curtains are set up at a Bed Bath & Beyond.
Right.
They actually set this up as a set. But, like, I know, it looks neat.
It's cute. Yeah, that's how, like, rugs are set up at a Pier 1.
Yeah, and then we get to the whole, like, first kisses. And I wrote, they closed down the restaurant, so they're monsters.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. I said, they are the worst people at this restaurant.
It's terrible. And I don't know, because even, so this is a commentary episode, so I do have some behind-the-scenes stuff. And Michael Patrick King, who, for the record, worked in restaurants, was like, there's just something sexy about closing a restaurant down. No, there's not. We need to undo that train of thought. Closing a restaurant down is terrible.
Because you're not, like, closing it down. No one's going to probably approach you and say, you have to get out. Like,
yeah,
we have to
just
stand there.
You. They're, like, standing there watching you do nothing. Leave. Go be sexy someplace else. Makes me crazy. And he better be leaving a tip. He says,
yeah.
I'm either leaving a tip or my dry cleaning receipt.
Once again with the dry cleaning.
Yeah. These people do dry clean a lot.
Yeah,
someone
maybe
who never dry
well,
cleans.
Well, maybe that's like because they have more than just t-shirts.
Maybe. Seems complicated to me. And then we cut to bad sex.
And Carrie just looks miserable.
Yeah, and the point is sort of made that like if the shot was shorter, it's just like, upsetting, but the fact that it sort of lingers for so long, and yeah, she goes through several facial, that it, that's sort of what makes it funny, yeah. That it's like, oh, that's tragic. So then we get to Raw. For the record, this restaurant didn't exist. They filmed this in some restaurant out in Brooklyn. I have no idea which one.
And they have martinis with huge slices of apple on them.
Yeah, I do get a little bit. I wonder what those drinks are, if they're just regular martinis.
Well, they're not an apple teeny because they're not green.
Right. But, like, maybe it's an apple-infused vodka. But then I don't really get how raw, like, is vodka raw? When you distill, I don't know how alcohol works in the raw world.
I don't think you would be drinking alcohol if you're a raw vegan.
So I'm a little uncertain about that. Also, vegan non-dairy is redundant.
Vegan non-dairy, and nothing is cooked over 118 degrees.
So, in other words, raw vegetables.
And sometimes flowers.
And you knew about this?
I read a review in the Times.
Where, in the gardening section?
I also just think this doesn't sound great.
No, the raw food diet was a thing. I mean, now we have that too. Like, we have the gluten-free, like, we have all that stuff happening. But I don't think, and I guess they talk about this more, but I don't think the food would be that gross. Like, I don't think they would be so disgusted by a chilled vegetable soup. I don't think everything would be disgusting. I think you'd probably still be hungry after.
Right.
If you weren't used to this style of eating, but I don't think you would be disgusted.
Yeah, they really hate it. And I guess, I mean, Michael Patrick King sort of makes the point in the commentary that he, like, though raw food still is a thing, it didn't really take off.
Right.
And he was sort of like, bless. He was sort of like, I do wonder if we kind of like undid the raw.
No, I think that raw food didn't take off because it's very expensive and it's hard. It's not like veganism where you're like, you have more options. Like,
yeah, I don't want to eat it.
Okay, you don't have to. But Charlotte's dressed like she's about to perform Much Ado About Nothing. She's in like a Shakespearean corset.
So Carrie is sleepy.
She is sleepy.
Did you finally bug her burger?
I didn't really think it was that funny.
But I think it does sound like, how, I mean, Carrie literally says, like, how long have you been sitting on that one?
Right, but that's not even a good one.
Or we'll get way better ones later.
Yeah, the sex was so quiet, she heard the M11 bus.
Which means it would be really quiet because the M11 bus is on the Upper West Side. And she lives on the Upper East Side. So it was real quiet all throughout the city.
Good job, Mike.
Yeah, thank you. For the record, the hostess that seats them is, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, Rochelle Eights, I'm going to go with.
Okay.
So this is her very first credit. Her next credit is going to be White Chicks, which I never saw. But I guess that she has a fairly major role, and it sort of like launched her into stardom. And she like, well, she has a very like illustrious film and TV career. She was a leading character on that TV show Mistresses. Alyssa Milano was in it.
I know her.
It only went for like 3 seasons. But anyways, I always love it when it's someone with like one random line who then you look it up and you're like, oh, she was on like 3 ERs and did a whole bunch of stuff. So,
and
anyways.
I don't know. I mean, this is also something because you and I don't go to these types of places. But the model hostess, model bartender, model like waiters, are those still a thing? Do we still have those restaurants? Maybe downtown in the meatpacking?
Maybe downtown. I mean, like, there really was a time, like when I first moved to the city, you had to have a headshot with your resume at a lot of restaurants.
Yeah, now that's illegal.
Is it illegal?
I think it is. I think it's like they can't
require it.
I don't even know if they can have it because
I mean,
then
I've
that
seen
would,
a few come in.
Right, but I don't think they're allowed to take them because if they do, then it could be considered discrimination or like bias based on looks. But I don't know. I could be wrong. Someone could have just told me that.
Yeah, it was definitely a thing. Like, especially down like in the Union. I remember like coffee shop. Like, they were models. Like, you had to be a model. I think like you had to be, like, signed to an agency to get a hosting job.
Yeah, I had a friend who was a model, and he used to get hired at all these restaurants, and he was like, I was just so terrible at it. Like, one time, it was one of those restaurants where you brought the martini shaker to the table and, like, poured the martini, but he didn't understand what the martini, what it did, because he was only 18 or 19. And he just opened the shaker and poured the whole thing into the glass, like, ice, everything.
But he was pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the way to the table, like, Samantha sort of wants details, and Carrie's trying to move the conversation along because things were bad. I mean, like, or as she's stating here, it just wasn't great.
Right.
Which, you know, bothers her because they're so good everywhere else.
The kisses are great, and then in bed, there was There was no sexual chemistry.
Yeah, the M11 bus comment happens of like, you know, Samantha gets her little, at least someone was getting off. Speaking of.
Yeah, and then we meet the waiter.
Yeah, the server appears and Samantha behaves completely inappropriately.
Yeah, surprise.
So this is Jason Lewis is the actor. I don't know how much we want to talk about. I don't think we even learned his name in this episode.
Okay. I don't know anything about him. I don't.
We can leave it at that for now. Miranda's going to need a pizza.
Yeah, she's going to need a pizza.
And Samantha's
going to need a napkin to dry off her seat. That waiter was hot.
It's so
gross.
Inappropriate. Yeah. And Charlotte has news.
I'm becoming a Jew.
The point is made, like, isn't that a lot of hoop jumping for a man?
Well, I like the way Charlotte goes, I need your attention. And then Samantha says, well, you'll have to shoot our waiter. Would you look at that ass? Like, she can't.
Cannot let it go.
No. They're drinking or eating lawn in a bowl. That's yeah. What they call the amuse-bouche.
He can amuse my bouche. And I, even, you know, like, Harry makes me feel like myself. And Miranda makes the point of, like, but yourself is Episcopalian.
Yeah.
A little bit of pushback from Miranda, which is, like, supposed to be expected. And then we do get to Miranda and Carrie out for pizza, and now I want pizza.
This episode made you real hungry.
So many times. And was I hungry when I was watching it? I guess I kind of was.
In the honor of today being the 4th of July.
Yes, this is the 4th of July, for the record. When we mentioned being, you know... dressed up patriotically.
Yeah. It is the 4th of July. It makes me want a hot dog.
Real bad. Kudos, Jennifer Coolidge. So Miranda's boyfriend is at home taping her favorite show.
Yep. TiVo.
Yeah, and I do think it's funny. First of all, TiVo was such a big deal.
Did you have one?
I did not have a TiVo because I had a VCR that I did actively use. And then I feel like that was soon after TiVo was invented, a lot of cable companies just had a built-in DVR.
I think it took... I can just imagine you being the one person who would, like, need a TiVo. But I also picture you being like, I'm sorry, I can't do anything on Wednesdays because...
Yeah, there was a lot of I have to be home. I couldn't work Thursdays because Thursday was must-see TV. And I would watch, like, all 3 hours of it usually. And then I did tape things. Like, once upon a time, I had, like, every West Wing and every ER taped. It is funny that I ever had a TiVo. It's also funny that my phone and just automatically knows
Mine
how
too.
To capitalize TiVo.
Yeah.
Yeah, those certain words. Like, you can't just write about an apple. It's going to be a capitalized apple, usually. Have you ever noticed that?
No.
Yeah. Apple makes you capitalize it, even if you don't want to. Miranda
Get off our D.
I know, right? Creepy. Miranda's watching Jules and Mimi. I also do, like, I put Miranda, but I meant Cynthia Nixon gets to break out her British accent.
Yeah.
But apparently there's a great divide.
Because it's a pretty good one. And, you know, Cynthia Nixon's like, oh, I can do that.
Yeah. And she's like, I don't know what any of this means, but it seems controversial.
Yeah, I like that too.
Was Jules and Mimi a real show?
It was not. No, okay. This is a made-up show for Sex and the City. We get back to Carrie's sexual problem. I do like that. Amongst the four girls, Carrie's like, it's not that big of a deal. You know, it'll be fine. And then we get Carrie and Miranda alone, and Carrie can kind of be a little more open.
It was not good. There was no throwdown.
And maybe her expectations were too high.
Right. There was no throwdown. There was a slowdown. Yeah. And
your expectations were too high. Of course you were disappointed.
That's sort of our first thing of, like, expectations.
Yeah. Mike just likes to live with no expectations.
That's just a safer place to live, I think.
Low expectations. The Mike Jensen story.
So Carrie's thinking about sexpectations.
It shouldn't be called dating. It should be called waiting for the other shoe to drop.
For me, I feel like life should just be called waiting for the other shoe to drop. I'm like, this is going great.
When's
it gonna burn down?
Yeah. And why is it always something? I suppose because it's always something.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's no such thing as perfect. So there's always going to be something. And I think that it depends on when you start looking for the something and the somethings that are deal breakers and the somethings that aren't. I know that with me, I feel like I've talked about this. It's sort of why I can never do the online thing. Because I'll look for the something.
Yes.
Like, I'll be like, oh, he's cute, has a good job, correct age range. Oh, he watches The Real Housewives. It's never going to work out.
Right.
Like, I'll find the thing that's going to be the problem and nix the whole thing before it even starts. So I guess that's what it is. It is always going to be something.
And unfortunately, OkCupid just tells you that something right away.
Yeah, right away.
Which for people like us, we're like, okay, well then, absolutely not.
That'll be a hard no from me. So Miranda's watching Jules and Mimi.
You always answer the door without a shirt on.
And I did say, like, is this a bit of a throwback to last week's shirtless door greet? That in our first episode, Kilkenny answered the door with just a towel on.
No, I don't know.
And
I
now
don't...
Jules is answering the door with just a towel on.
I think you're just a little bit into the man with the towel.
That's fine with me. Charlotte's at the synagogue and she goes to the rabbi and he's not interested.
Shalom, where would I find the rabbi?
So appropriate.
At this flashback, though, to Miranda, I just thought Mike is such a Miranda. Like, Miranda is so happy with that TV. That's the happiest I've ever seen Miranda.
I do feel like I have a note about that at some point. That, yeah, this is very much my idea of a good time.
It's
like being at home with your DVR or your TiVo or
alone.
Whatever. Alone. Don't bother me. For the record, this rabbi is Pierre Epstein. I don't have a lot to say about him except for the fact that, like, he's had quite a career as well. He was in the movie Splash, which I saw when I was very young. I don't really remember it, but okay. That was the one that, like, jumped out at me. Yeah, she knocks again to report a rude man.
I was just saying that my name is Charlotte York, and I would like to consider joining the Jewish...
Yeah, he shuts the door, too. And then Harry just was like, sort of, it's a game. Like, they try to make it hard. They turn you down three times.
Is this a real thing?
I think ish. I don't know if it's, like, specifically three times, though it sounds vaguely familiar to me, but it... could be just from watching this show.
According to tradition, a rabbi will turn a potential convert away three times before allowing him or her to begin the conversion process. The basic idea is that an observant Jewish lifestyle is a lot to take on. Yeah, so basically what they said. I'll give credit to Sarah Weissman from the Huffington Post for this article that I read from.
And I also, I do like that Charlotte gets this. Charlotte's like, oh,
well, Charlotte rules. Loves a challenge.
Yeah,
and
she likes the rules, so it makes sense. I do write that Miranda's very made up for a night at home with ice cream and TV.
But she just got home from work, right? Or from somewhere, because Magda's there.
Yeah, I still feel, I don't know. Like, I feel like it's on purpose. I feel like it's make it, because it's a date.
Oh, okay.
Like, she has a date with TiVo, but I'm like, you can wash your face and take that necklace off.
I don't know. Sometimes when I'm tired, I just sit in a full face.
Yeah, and Magda has something that she has to tell Miranda.
And she's like, oh no, Brady, does Magda say boy is beautiful is fine?
Yeah.
No, boy is beautiful is fine.
But she sat on TiVo.
She broke the TiVo.
It's all gone. And this used to be a thing. Like, I remember, well, first of all, I know we brought this up, but like in the old days, but like not that long ago, if you weren't home to watch a TV show and you didn't record it, you didn't get to watch it. Like, there wasn't a Hulu the next day. There wasn't a streaming. Like, if you didn't watch the show that night, you didn't see it, and this wasn't that long ago.
No, and it's also, like, remember when, we talked about this, too, when you would use a tape that had a really important family thing.
Yeah.
And, like, tape an
episode. Or, like, you'd go
TV.
To watch the thing, and then as it ended, like, the other thing popped up, and you were like, oh, no!
Yeah. And my old roommate, my first roommate in New York, Renee, the one that I talked about before, she was a hoarder when it came to the DVR. This is why I still don't have a DVR, because I think I have just, like, such anxiety from her. She would DVR everything all the time, and then it would be stuff she wouldn't even want to watch, but she would be so obsessed with watching it, she would like cancel really fun plans to be like, I can't, I've just got too much DVR to go through.
Yeah.
And then she would keep things on there like the American Idol season finale for years.
I have a lot of So You Think You Can Dance season finales on my DVR. There are a few things that, like, I don't want to erase. Like, I still have, like, the live Jesus Christ Superstar on my DVR. Because sometimes I'm like, I want to just watch 10 minutes.
Can you just buy it on DVD?
You can. I want to, like, know that the DVD...
didn't get edited.
Right.
Edited.
So I should edited, do some edited is the actual word.
Edited.
And I definitely have gone through phases where, like, if I have three episodes of something that I haven't watched, I just decide that I don't care about that show that much, and I'll stop recording it.
And across town, I lay in bed, willing Berger to call me.
So Carrie's waiting for Berger to call, and it works. This happens sometimes. You're like, I really wish a certain person would call, and they do.
Okay.
I guess it's more like texting. Shh. Oh, are you working on it?
Mm-hmm.
Did it work?
Well, obviously not. You didn't give me enough time.
Should we talk about what's in his hand during this phone conversation?
Sure, because I don't know.
There's something in his hand in this conversation.
Okay.
It's just her number on a Post-it. So he tells her a silly story.
I know that Post-its are a thing and are going to be a thing because the New York Public Library sent me this whole thing about Post-its and Carrie Bradshaw.
This is why, because her number's on a Post-it.
Okay.
So
I don't think it's why, but we'll figure it out.
So he tells her a silly story and is charming about how, like, he had to rescue people. That's why he hasn't
called.
Yeah,
I wrote Berger had rehearsed this.
Yeah. And then she has her funny little story about curing cancer and doing the crossword.
And then he can't do the crossword, which I can't do that crossword.
I'm not sure that I've ever completed a Monday. I maybe have.
A Monday or a Sunday?
No, a Sunday I wouldn't even try.
Yeah.
Monday's the super easy one. And I'm trying to think if I've ever actually gotten all the way through one.
I can't fight it. I am sitting here doing the Sunday Times crossword, and I know why the words won't come.
I don't know what that is.
Starting here, starting now.
I still don't know what that
Maltby is. By Maltby and Shire.
So basically, I think it's just like to reestablish. Oh, look, they have a they click and they're fun, right, and they're funny together. And then we just cut to bad sex again.
Mm-hmm.
And then Samantha and Carrie are out shopping.
F me badly once, shame on you. F me badly twice, shame on me. And Carrie's dressed like that nurse from the Blink 182 video.
But I like that she's like, is that the saying?
Yeah.
Because that's not the saying, no, but it's close. Yeah, Samantha's basically like, dump him.
I don't want to dump him. I think he's fantastic. And aren't we getting a little old to jump to the dump?
And apparently Samantha has a very special relationship with... I keep saying the name of this place wrong. It's not La Perla. It's La Perla, I believe.
Yeah, that's a place.
Yeah, so they're at La Perla. I guess that like they would just put in the script of like, she likes to shop at La Perla. And La Perla was nice and let them actually record there on the Upper East Side. Because what she requests from the salesperson is very specific.
Hi, I need something that will make a guy come in his pants as soon as he sees me.
Got it.
You talk to salespeople like that?
I'm here all the time. They love me.
Is this for a specific gentleman, or do you just look for that generally?
And basically, Samantha plans on sleeping with that hot waiter tonight.
I like that she just has that in her brain.
Yeah, like that's plans for tonight. Sleeping with the hot waiter. And, you know, Carrie wants to talk to Berger. And Samantha insists when it comes to sex.
Spray it, don't say it.
Okay, that was unnecessary.
She's on a roll. She's on a roll on this scene.
Oh, and also, Samantha says, I'm sleeping with him. And Carrie goes, when? And Samantha says, tonight. But he doesn't know it. That doesn't sound appropriate if both parties are not aware of the situation.
He's not aware. He'll be aware of it before it starts.
Okay. He just comes home and she's like, surprise!
Carrie says, I don't wear furry shoes. Really?
I don't know. She
when
has
did
a lot
that,
of...
Yeah, when did that become a thing?
The same time where she said she never leaves the house without clothes
I'm
on.
I'm not sure that I believe her on this one. And then getting to, like, he can't think this is good. And then, like, oh my gosh, what if he thinks this is good? And then basically she buys all the stuff.
Yeah, everything. It's like this episode of Golden Girls I was watching yesterday, which you've seen, where they are doing the flashback to all the girls going to the workout place, and they convince Dorothy and Rose that they need to buy everything to go to this workout class. No, it's Dorothy and
Blanche.
Dorothy and Blanche. And Rose is like, I'm just going to wear my sweatsuit. And then Blanche and Dorothy show up and they're just in like glitter.
I remember that vaguely. I'm not as well versed in Golden Girls as I should be. Once upon a time, I was really good.
Yeah.
Like, I could literally from the opening shot be like, this is the one. So, Marantha's on the phone with her significant other. And I basically just wrote, this conversation is ridiculous and pretty funny.
She's so emotional.
We have been over this before. I feel like you are not listening to me. I turned the system off for 10 minutes and nothing changed. I'm sorry. I'm upset.
It really is done.
And
of like
it
that
connects
sort of...
through a dial-up modem? Is that how TiVo worked?
I guess
like,
that
it had all those errors
sense.
That were like phone calls.
And it really was. If you look, it's like, I'm trying to see what the date was in the background, but it's like July 19th, yeah. I want to say, which really was a week and a half before this episode aired. So they did the research because this was obviously filmed way before that. And it's funny. I mean, like her conversation's pretty good.
You told me to do that already. What is wrong with you?
Carrie's out with Berger, and now I would like a margarita.
Well, they're two for one there.
Yeah, I know. They're two for one.
And she has her boobs on the
Carrie
table.
Carrie is laying it on thick. She's just like...
And her boobs look really big. It must be that thing. Or is she pregnant? She's nursing.
She's nursing.
Okay.
I almost brought it up in the first episode of this season where I'm like, she has her breastfeeding boobs out, but I didn't want to objectify her.
No, but I mean, in this shot, I was like, did they purposely do that? Or
she's got the boobs going on. So Charlotte shows up with kosher wine and he shuts the door and she just knocks incessantly. And a woman answers.
I'm sorry, but my husband can't see you now.
Excuse me. I don't mean to be rude, but I think he can.
And Charlotte pushes her way through to confront him. And we kind of open up to reveal that he's gathered there with his family.
For the Sabbath.
Yeah, it's almost Sabbath. He invites her to watch and learn. She almost doesn't.
Right.
She's like, oh, I have a...
Actually, I'm supposed to meet my boyfriend. I can skip it.
And then I'm like, yeah, no, you need to skip whatever
she
you're doing.
She brought kosher wine.
Yeah. And her phone rings, which isn't really her fault.
Right. People didn't know that you had to put things on silent yet.
And she really didn't know because she was just randomly invited to sit down and watch. So we get back to Raw and Samantha...
And her earrings.
Yes. Expects to be recognized.
Hello. I was here the other night.
We're going to establish later that he does recognize her. But whenever someone is like, oh, I blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I've seen like 50 of you a night.
Right.
You only dealt with one
of me. Well, and this happens to you a lot, I think, at work when, like, I'm like, wow, Mike's section's full. And they're like, yeah, we're all here to have sex with him.
It's very true.
You know, and I have to be like, this is awkward, Mike. Who are you going to choose? You're like, TiVo.
He, I assume, makes a keep coming comment.
That's what happens. You come once and you just keep coming over and over.
On purpose?
I don't think he does, but I think.
I wonder.
I mean, I think they wrote it that way, but I don't know if he wrote it that way.
Yeah, and they keep seating his section, and we quickly realize why, and we do have a quick glimpse of your doppelganger in the background.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get more to that later, because first we have Miranda getting home, and Steve's there.
Did the TiVo guy come?
No, they called and said that they have to reschedule for a week from Thursday.
The TiVo people canceled, but Steve fixed it. And we do have the, like, I love you moment.
I love you. I mean, you know, for fixing that.
And he has a date.
Yes.
So we get back
but
to
Raw. But does he really have a date?
I think he does.
Okay.
He is seeing someone.
But he's not like, I don't think he likes that person as much as he likes Samantha or Miranda. So we go back to Raw, and, like, we get these snapshots of all the other women that are the competitors, and it looks like when you would go to the salon in the 90s, and you would flip through those books of all the hairstyles, and actually, they still probably have them there, and it's who got these hairstyles, but that all those women did.
Yeah, we have a last woman sitting situation, mm-hmm. and it's just as though he's going to just sleep with the last woman there.
Yeah.
Like, there's a prize for staying the longest.
And, like, anyone has asked him.
Yeah, this moment is all pretty stupid, and it has been written up as, like, a not terribly, like, woke moment, but I think if we just allow it to kind of be, like, we are sort of, this TV show is sort of, like, woman slash gay man fantasy, so it's silly and it's ridiculous, but it is what it is.
4 hours and four courses of uncooked food later, Samantha and her competitors waited it out.
And one by one, they have to go home and poop. Is what I put, because they've been eating all the raw food.
Or they're just hungry.
Right, exactly.
They're all hangry.
And I guess they were sort of grouped, like the Connecticut women leave first, and like the Queens women leave next. Like Michael Patrick King basically took 15 featured extras mm-hmm. and sat them in the restaurant and was like, this is what your group is, this is what your group is.
Oh,
and
but they didn't know that.
I think they did.
Well, I mean, we didn't know that.
We didn't know that, no. And finally it comes down to...
Do you think the Connecticut ones were all a little bit drunk?
A little bit. Finally comes down to Samantha and Julia Murney.
I'm not going to say anything because I always get judged for bringing up musical theater references.
Tell us about Julia Murney.
Well, what do you want? Do you want me to tell you the funny moment about how I was hired because someone thought I looked like Julia yeah, Murney, who's currently listening to this podcast, who hired me for a job once because he said that my interview outfit, which was a paisley, like, sundress, but not a cute sundress. It looked like a sundress that my mom would wear with a black cardigan and patent leather flats. That's what I was wearing. And he said I reminded him of Julia Murney in Sex and the City. And I never knew what that was. And then last night I was like, this can't be the episode he's talking about.
And it is.
I mean, unless she makes another appearance.
Yeah, that's it.
Also, Julia Murney is... An actress, a Broadway actress.
Yeah.
She was an Elphaba. Mm-hmm. She, a lot of people know her from Lipa's Wild Party as Queenie.
Yes. The one that we kind of threw shade at.
But we didn't. We just said that we liked
it. It was silly shade.
I mean, she is amazing in that. I never saw it because I wasn't here, but.
And I guess she was the first to sing the song Defying Gravity.
Okay, that would make sense.
That she sang it in like a workshop or some kind of concert they did before it was ever a thing. Yeah, she played Alpha before. Yeah, anyway, very, very talented. So I wrote this and it was confirmed by Michael Patrick King because I wrote, you kind of get the feeling that he's no dummy. That like this waiter's aware of what's happening. And it was apparently directed that way of like, you can see what's happening. You're not an idiot. Yeah, Samantha kind of goes over to confront her rival and basically offers to buy her dinner and that's it.
Yeah, she doesn't really fight her.
Yeah, she's like, oh, fine,
yeah,
I'm out.
Whatever, I gotta poop.
Yeah. So Carrie and Berger get back to her place quite drunk.
She was drunkity drunk.
Drunk, yeah.
This and goes she can't walk, this which goes is
about,
what happens.
Yeah, this goes about as well as you think it's gonna go.
Yeah, Carrie, drunk. See, I wonder when I see Carrie like this, how did she get in the cab? How did she get out of the restaurant? How did they pay their bill? Like,
but I think these things can hit you later. Like, I think there are times that you've had a bit too much to drink, but you're like, all right, here we go. And then, like, 20 minutes later, you're like, okay, well, now I'm not where I was 20 minutes ago.
Mm.
And then I wrote, do straight guys care about frilly shoes? And I guess neither of us really have the answer. Yeah, to that, I don't know. I'm curious about it.
Like,
she like seduces him with her shoes, and then she throws a shoe in his head.
Yeah,
which apparently was not in the, like, that just sort of happened.
I mean, I think it. That is the Fredericks of Hollywood look, where, right. But I don't really necessarily know if men...
I always just wonder what men actually care about.
Hey, to all the straight men listening to this.
Our legions of straight...
can you... If I mean, I think there are
we
straight...
We have a few. Yeah. We have some.
Just send us a message. Like, would you, be into... Yeah. Are you into that?
Or would you rather she just wear a flat so she can walk and keep up with
right,
you?
Right. Like, Mike's trying to date someone. So if... should Mike wear those heels or should...
Because I have them.
Yeah.
And then he falls asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to Samantha's, and they
literally... He needs to go to Connecticut.
Or just go to sleep.
In Connecticut.
So we're back at Samantha's, and they literally call it raw sex.
And after a night of raw food, Samantha enjoyed an all-nighter of raw sex.
But it's actually not.
It's not. We'll get to that later. But I'm sort of like, why do you use that term? Does that mean something different?
Well, raw. The restaurant.
Right. I know that part. But raw sex usually means... unsafe sex.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's confusing and it goes on for too long.
Yeah, and he's gonna F her out that window.
Yeah.
They're like against the window of her apartment, and I'm thinking like, yikes. And then they're doing some weird Cirque du Soleil.
Yeah, I guess moves. What this is, it's actually an homage to that like 1001 sexual positions, that paper that she had a few seasons ago, that they pulled that out and they were like, let's go through this list. And they did a few of them and then ending with the chair on the bed because they've done everything else.
Yikes.
I was just listening to this podcast about sex in TV and film and about how, like, these sex scenes give you the idea that sex should go on for hours and hours, and if it doesn't, you're doing it wrong. And I'm just putting that out there. Like, this is too long. This goes on for too long.
And if you're, like, not on the window, it's fine.
Yeah. This...
You don't need the
chair. It doesn't
chair.
Have to look like this. You're not doing it wrong if you're not doing it like this. And we do cut to condom wrappers.
Yeah, stuck to her.
And in the commentary, he's like, we're always very, you know, it's always very important that we point out that it's safe sex. I'm like, is it?
Yeah, because this is the first time.
I've, like, literally never seen a condom, I think, like, having, you know, like, an open condom wrapper.
Right. And then he says to her, can I tell you something? And she goes, you're 12.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
no,
God.
I wrote, it's good that his secret isn't that he's 12.
Right.
I was ready to go home with you last Tuesday.
Now you tell me I ate a fucking cactus. Get back down there and make it up to me.
Awesome.
Whatever. There we go. We cut to Carrie waking up the next morning after not having sex.
With one heel on. That's me in my 20s.
And they do sort of try again, and it still doesn't work.
I suck. This is awful.
I know.
I've never been this bad.
And I, you know, at this point, they at least talk about it.
Right, and here's something that I realized, and I was very, proud of myself for this moment. So the Sex and the City formula for dating and bad dates is usually one of the girls goes on a date. They really like the guy. One of the girls goes on another date. They find out he does this terrible thing, whether it's he's a bad kisser or he says really vulgar things in the bedroom or he's obsessed with food. Like, there's something awkward. They talk, they have like a get together with the girls, they talk about it, and then they go on the next date, and usually everything falls apart even 100 times worse. That's like the formula.
Sure.
So with this one, it's that, right? So she goes on a date with Berger, it goes great. She goes on the second date, she finds out they don't have good sex. She meets up with the girls, she goes back for the third date, and they actually talk about the situation, which made me think, okay, this one's gonna last. Maybe.
Right, because they do talk, yeah, so there you go. Yeah, they talk about it, and then it's sort of like maybe make the bed more like a restaurant.
Yeah, that'll real make me happy. Mike, what would you do if someone's like, you don't make this situation hot?
Let's make it look like a restaurant. And she has her shoes, and he has appropriately unfilled salt and peppers.
We had it all going on.
We did.
And I thought it would be great, and I wanted it to be great, and I choked. And then I came over the next night, and I thought it would be better, and...
I choked.
Well, what's up? We should be smoking, not choking.
And then I wrote, I guess he does like the shoes. They agree to talk, and maybe that's all they needed.
I was going to talk to you about it, but...
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you, but...
Well, let's make a deal. I talk to you, you talk to me.
We should be able to talk about these things.
Because then they're on each other, and the other shoe drops, and they have hot sex. She says it's pretty hot. And that's it.
Episode 2. I couldn't help but wonder what... I mean, they say it tastes like lawn in a glass, but, like, what was so disgusting about that food? Because a green juice tastes like lawn in a glass.
Right. I couldn't help but wonder if Samantha had nothing she had to do the next day.
Why?
She was up all night.
I think she does that often.
I don't know. I'm concerned. And that's it. There's episode two. Burger and Carrie continue. Miranda and Steve continue to not. Charlotte continues her journey towards Judaism. And Samantha and this waiter.
Yeah, Samantha.
Which on IMDb he has a name, but we haven't heard it yet, so we'll save that until we actually hear it.
Is he going to come back?
Maybe, maybe not.
Spoilers, Mike.
Next week. Bye.
You can visit us at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Instagram, all at WeCouldn'tHelpButWonder with no caps, no spaces, and no punctuation, and Twitter at WCHBWPodcast. You can follow Elise at Evie Castle and me at MikeJensen77. Special thanks to Patrick Hines. Make sure you check out TheaterPodcastProductions.com to see all the work that he does. We would love it if you would share this podcast with someone. Put a link on Facebook or tell a friend. Take a moment and rate us on Apple Podcasts, or even better, write a review. And don't forget to change your settings to play in sequential order. Join us next week for the perfect present.
Before that, though, they are at a restaurant and they're the worst people there.
That doesn't happen till later.
Oh, I get it. Something burning?
Hopefully not.
All right. This is like the last thing anyone ever hears from us.
Because somehow it gets posted.
Oh, yeah.
So Carrie is
amongst the rubble, we found Elise and Mike. And we found this recording, and we shall put it out there for their legacy. Mike just TiVo'd all his notes.
I almost did.
And you know what I think? I don't give a fuck about the shoes.
We already used that joke
once. I know, but I wanted to bring it back.